Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Welcome. Tonight we will be talking about soulmates as a spiritual path, which is one of my favorite topics because it has been my path to spiritual awakening. Tonight we will be talking about the book The One by Kathy Freston. That's F-R-E-S-T-O-N. The subtitle of The One is Discovering the Secrets of Soulmate Love. You can call in with your questions at 917-932-8881. You can also go to my website, LoriCoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I. C-O-B-U-R-N, and click on the Ask Lori button. And you can email me, and I will write you back later on in the week because I don't have access to those emails at the current moment. What I'm going to do is read from Kathy's book and then make comments on what she writes because I find this book to be quite balanced. Kathy acknowledges the extremely strong pull of the soulmate relationship, and she also balances it with sound psychological advice. We probably won't get into her psychological advice tonight because this basically is an introduction. I'm going to be reading from her first chapter. But what I find out in the books that are publicly acknowledged about romance and relationships is that there are a lot of psychologists out there who don't seem to believe in soulmate relationships or twin flames. They say romance is a bunch of hooey, it never lasts, and you should not base your relationship on that. And a lot of people go so far as to say that when you have that incredibly strong pull, that it is simply an addiction. They're right and wrong. A lot of these relationships do have addictive components. However, that is not all they are. And what I have found from personal experience, as well as my experience in 25 years as a psychotherapist, is that these relationships are our path to spiritual awakening. They're not everybody's path. But if you have a very, very strong pull toward romantic relationships, chances are it is your path or one of your paths to find God, to find your higher self with a capital S, self-realization. And that is what I think the mainstream literature out there does not recognize or does not understand. When I've read a lot of these books by social workers and psychologists. I'm a social worker myself. I have just thought they don't get it. They've never had a soulmate relationship. They do not understand the incredible, intense magnetic pull that these relationships have on us. And they dismiss them as codependent or addictive or immature. And while some of them are that, a lot of them aren't. And what I found personally was that I went to several therapists, and these were good therapists overall. They were good therapists. They did not understand what I was talking about. They just thought that when I got healthy, I would forget about my twin flame. What I finally ended up telling my last therapist was, look, this has been 20 years that I've been dealing with this man. As I get healthier, I only love him more. I only feel more connected to him in my soul. And even though I have not seen him in 10 years, and prior to that I had not seen him for 10 years, we had a relationship in the early 90s for several years, broke up, kept in contact, always talked about when we would get back together, finally did meet again after 10 years, didn't work, we still weren't ready, we couldn't handle it, neither one of us could. He told me, look, you're the big kahuna. I can keep other women at an arm's length distance. I cannot do that with you. If I'm with you, all my issues will come up, and I can't handle it. I'm a failure at relationships. They destroy me. So he left again. And in hindsight, I realized I, too, could not handle it. I thought I could, but it was too big for me. And so here we are 10 years later. I have not seen him in a long time, and I am still working on this relationship in my soul, in my forgiveness lessons, as my path to spiritual awakening. So what I told my therapist was, my love for this man is not the problem. It's my guilt over loving this man that's the problem. It's my sense of, why is this relationship not done? Why is there not closure? How come he is in every fiber of my being 20 years later? It does not go away. The reason for that is because it is my spiritual awakening path. It is not about him, particularly in the sense of his body, my body being together. It's not about sex. It's not about even the relationship between our egos. We have not seen each other in almost 10 years. It is about the soul connection, the bond, the mission that he and I established before we entered into this lifetime, to teach each other forgiveness, to teach each other how to awaken to total unconditional love. And I know in my own path of spiritual awakening that the more I forgive this relationship, because there were a lot of really tragic, hard things that happened in it, the more spiritually aware and awake and loving I become, the better teacher I become, the better therapist I become, the better partner I become to the man I'm with now, who is another soulmate of mine. And these relationships will not let us go until they are completed. I used to pray, God, get this man out of my life. I cannot take this. I cannot take this. And that prayer was not answered in the way that I expected it to be. Rather than this man getting out of my life, he just kind of came in it more and more in a more convoluted, difficult way, because he was not going to go away until I forgave him and forgave myself. Now that I have forgiven him and forgiven myself, he's still not gone. The love is there in such a total way. And now, rather than forgiveness, the task I'm finding is opening to that love that I feel between him on a psychic soul level. Again, it has nothing to do with his body here, because this is all being processed in my soul, in my being, as a spiritual awakening. What happens is that your soulmate, in my case, I call him a twin flame, which would be the soulmate of soulmates, the one who is absolutely closest to you. In my twin flame's case, the more I awaken and open and say, okay, I am going to totally love you in my being and let you love me and acknowledge that, rather than look at our past and look at all the traumas that happened, as I open to that, what it is a mirror to God's unconditional love. And that is what Kathy Freston says in her book, The One, that these relationships become the mirror of God, the mirror of our higher self. And so they are incredibly important lessons in opening to love. So what I would like to do is read from her book and then comment on it in terms of my personal experience. She starts out with a quote from Khalil Gibran from The Prophet, that beautiful book of poetry. When love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him. Though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. This little verse says a lot in a small space. It tells us yield to this love. What happened in my case is that neither one of us yielded to the love. We couldn't. It was too big for either one of us. It scared the devil out of us. And it made us run away. It made us fight. It made us run away. And I find that even now, as I'm a pretty developed person, pretty spiritually aware, pretty balanced, have a pretty healthy life at this point, when I, in my being, open to the love that I feel with this man in my soul, it's still big for me. It is huge. And A Course in Miracles says that we really are terrified of the total love of God. We run from love. We can handle hate. We can handle attack. But we can't handle love. And I have found that to be true, as this man is a mirror for me of that total love. It frightens me. I get nervous and squirrely, and it's so terrifying that I give myself migraine headaches because I can't handle it. And I'm actually a pretty healthy person. I have a lot of friends. There's a lot of love in my life. I have good relationships with almost everybody. And this one blows me right out of the water. And so I didn't recognize for a long time what that was. I didn't even know I was running away from it. What I would do is I would attack him and say, oh, well, he's not so great, or he's got this flaw, or he has that flaw, and I don't want to be with him because he's like this. And I pushed him away in my mind and in my heart. And I didn't even know that what I was doing was pushing God away, pushing away my own self. Because I've found that unless in my soul I am open to him, I'm not open to me. When I push him away, I get depressed. When I open to him, I am creative. Things flow. I love my current partner more. I'm more alive, vibrant, energized. But if I say, oh, I just cannot deal with this. I don't want to think about him at all. I don't want to feel him at all. I get stony. I get in my head. I get compulsive. And then if I think I've lost him completely, which I know on my spiritual path you can never lose anyone, whether or not their body is present in your life. But if I think I've lost him, that moves into deep depression and suicidal feelings. But the more I'm open to him, the more I'm open to life. And when I am open to him, and open to my higher self, the fact that we are physically apart is not even an issue. Because I feel so connected to him in my being that it doesn't matter. Because I know the body is not what we are. We are spiritual beings. That is our true home. We are spiritual beings. We are mind. We are not these small selves. We are not these bodies. And when I came to realize that, that was a huge spiritual awakening for me. And the fact that he and I were separated was what allowed me to learn that lesson, that in truth, there is no separation at all. So if you've lost your soulmate, if you've lost someone you really love, you have to challenge that thought. You have to ask your higher self, your wise mind, to show you the truth that you cannot be separated from that person. You cannot. The love between you is eternal. I'm going to read some more from Kathy Freston's book. Her last name is spelled F-R-E-S-T-O-N. The One. The love of our life, the fulfillment of our dreams, that glorious person who will set our soul on fire and stoke our passion for life. We get up in the morning to the song of this promise on the radio and lull ourselves to sleep at night with novels and films about two disenchanted people who finally find each other and in the process make the world a better place. We hope against hope that one day this will be our story. We long for this connection we've heard about with all its magic and mystery and mojo. We want to be lit up and transformed simply by being in the presence of that heaven-sent, quote-unquote, one and only. Ah, soulmate love. This love is real, and it is true. It absolutely exists. Recently, I was reading the book by Rael Hunter, who was involved with, or maybe still is, the former presidential candidate, John Edwards. And the media made her out to be this young woman who stole him away from his wife and was his mistress and made it very illicit and ugly. When you read her book, I think it's called What Really Happened, when you read her book, you get that what she and John Edwards have is a twin flame relationship. It was not a fly-by-night fling. She was not this immature homewrecker. And she talks in there about the false front that was put up with John Edwards and Elizabeth Edwards' marriage and what she and John Edwards have between them and with their daughter. And I could tell from reading it that her experience was real. And she mentioned in there, if you've ever wondered if that starry-eyed, romantic, incredible, passionate love that you read about and see in the movies is real, let me assure you, it is real. And I can tell you that from my own personal experience. That's why, as I said earlier, when these psychologists talk about, well, that just doesn't last, or that just doesn't exist, or that's just the initial falling in love so that you mate and bond and get married, but it always goes away. I would say that relationships or soulmate relationships just are not their path. They have not experienced it. It's similar to someone who may talk about having a baby or what that process of giving birth is to a child, but they've never had a child. Every woman who goes into motherhood is initiated into this archetypal realm of being a mother, or if you're a father, being a father. And you can think about it all you want before you're a parent, but until you experience it fully, you don't really know. And it's the same type of thing with a soulmate or a twin flame. You know if you've had that. You know it. You know it in your gut, and it doesn't matter what anyone else says. But in my case, what I did was I felt guilty about it, and I questioned it. And my case was similar to a Romeo and Juliet type of thing, where it was someone who was forbidden. And so that made it really hard. And a lot of these twin flame things are like that. Because it's a spiritual path, we are called to go into our soul and trust what our soul is telling us and do what our soul is telling us. One time I said to my twin flame, this is while we were broken up, but we were still in contact. I said, how many times has God told you, just go get her? And he said, lots. But he couldn't do it. He didn't have the strength to do it. And I had to forgive him for that, because that was really, really painful for me. It felt like the most incredible betrayal and abandonment of our soul contract that I could imagine. But through my path of A Course in Miracles, as I realized that everything in my life is my own dream, and it's my own projection from my mind, that there was a part of me that needed and expected and believed in abandonment and betrayal. And now that I have learned that, that was my own projection, that was my own dream. He never did that to me. On the soul level, he has never abandoned me. He has totally loved me as I him. That's all been healed. And it's like the past does not even matter anymore. It just simply does not matter. And so whatever a particular person's path or lesson is, it will come out in your soulmate relationship. Let's read a little bit more. How you navigate the ins and outs of love is what gives purpose to your time on earth. I had a client once who kept telling me that he knew he was here for some purpose, but he didn't know what it was. And then he came face to face with his twin flame. He was married at the time, and he loved his wife, and she was a lovely person. And what happened was is he had worked with this person for 20-some years, and they were friends. They never really looked at any, you know, they were just friends. And then one day, their eyes were opened to each other at the right and perfect time because it wasn't meant to happen earlier. And he told me after that that now I know why I'm here. I am here because I came here to fulfill this relationship. And that is exactly how I feel about my twin flame, is that that is the reason I came here. Because I came here in order to go through that so that I could then teach forgiveness and teach the path of spiritual awakening that I'm doing. And when you have your twin flame or your soulmate, you know that there's something bigger going on. It is something beyond you. It is just, as Kathy Freston says, while falling in love, we sense we are being drawn into something bigger than ourselves, as if we are being called upon to participate in something important unfolding within and all around ourselves. We can feel ourselves changing as the relationship plunges us headlong into situations that trigger bold realizations and glimpses of enlightenment. And that's what it's been for me, enlightenment, becoming filled with the light of God, becoming filled with the awareness that this is a spiritual journey, and seeing with the eyes of vision, Christ vision, as A Course in Miracles calls it, which sees beyond the appearances of this world to the forgiven real world. When we forgive whatever it is, whatever the problems come up in our soulmate relationship, and everything that you have to deal with will come up in your relationship to be healed, when we forgive that, we are transformed. Our vision becomes God's vision. The world around us becomes lit with magic and mystery. You start seeing the radiance and the light. For example, I was sitting on my deck today, and I can always tell when I'm in that mystical place of true vision from my third eye, from my spiritual eye, because I live in the country and on woods and gardens, and everything becomes shimmering and radiant and luminescent. And I noticed this patch of grass with the sunlight on it that I had never seen before, and how some parts of the grass were a different shade of newly grown grass, new green, than the other parts. And in these times, you are just transported. And that's what it's like when we fall in love. When we fall in love, and everything, the sky is bluer and the clouds are whiter and the grass is greener, that is actually the truth of our being. These people that say the falling in love is just a chemical process, it's just hormones, it's just those pheromones and all those things, and it doesn't last, they don't get it. That is the truth of your being. And that is what we are meant to have. And when we lose that honeymoon phase and we fall into the day-to-day drudgery and the ego attacks on each other and the, why did I fall in love with you? You're not so great. And all the daily unforgiveness and selfishness and pushing people away and pushing love away. That is exactly why we are in these soulmate relationships, to get over those ego attempts, to get over our attachment to our small self and to move into who we really, truly are as our higher selves. And that's where we become enlightened. And that's where we have peak experiences. And that's when we embody the divine. That's what this life is all about. And so don't trash these relationships. Go through them. Live in them and live in them passionately and fully. And do not buy the lies that soulmates are fairy tales. Don't buy that. Do not buy that. Soulmate relationships can heal you. And just as A Course in Miracles says, the special relationship where it's the ego attacks and the ego tries to get from the other to feel complete and whole, when you stop doing that and you forgive and you know that you are complete and whole within yourself and you only want to give and you only want to love that other person, and it turns into a holy relationship whose purpose is to share this love with the entire world, that's what it's all about, and that's what wakes you up. A Course in Miracles is a path of relationships, a path of taking what the ego makes, which is a special relationship of you are special and you can give me something that nobody else can and I'm not complete without you. That's not what a soulmate is. A soulmate relationship that's holy and healthy is two whole people coming together to join and share love and magnify love. And through that, though, usually we're not whole to begin with. Just like my twin flame and I were not whole. We were very dysfunctional. That's why we couldn't make it work. We were two unhealthy people trying to get from each other and attacking each other in the process. Now, I'm a healthy, whole person. And all I want to do is love him and receive his love back, without expectations and without conditions. He doesn't ever have to come back to me. I don't need anything from him anymore, but I do need his love. I feel like our song is Unchained Melody, where it says, I need your love. And there's a book out there by Byron Katie that says, I need your love. Is that true? And she's talking about, no, you don't need other people's love and you don't need those codependent, addictive relationships. And I agree with that. You don't need them to feel whole within yourself. I don't need him in my life, his body, his personality. I do not need that. But I do need his love, and I need to love him on my soul level, because love is the only true reality. Love is what it's all about. And my love for him and his love for me are the same thing. It's God. That is what God is, that total spiritual, unconditional love. And so in that sense, yes, I do need his love, just like the song says. I need your love. I need your love, and I need to love you. Because if I don't love you, I can't love me. We have about 15 minutes left. If you're listening and you would like to call in, the number is 917-932-8881. Also, go to my website, lauricoburn.com, LORRICOBURN, and click on the Ask Lori tab and send me an email with your questions, and I'll do my best to tune into the Holy Spirit and answer you. Continuing to read from The One by Kathy Freston. she says, "We are meant to touch each other deeply and inspire the next generation of creators and healers. And in this way, romantic love and the search for it plays its part by stirring us to wakefulness." Anytime you are rocked by romantic love, you are being urged by providence to open your eyes so that you can expand as a person. When you are silly with infatuation or furious over a missed connection with your lover, you can be sure that this is just part of the curriculum of enlightenment. Such is the call of spirit to go beyond the limits of our individual egos and unpack some particular aspect of our evolution. In my case, it was being furious over a missed connection with your lover. I was so angry, so incredibly angry, because anger tends to be my default emotion. And if I'm not angry, then I'm depressed. Not anymore. Not since having a spiritual awakening, and not since A Course in Miracles and the forgiveness that I learned through A Course in Miracles has healed me. I'm no longer angry at my twin flame. I was angry for 20 years almost. Angry, 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 saying, "You did not do your part." And then what happened was I was shown in a vision how I did not do my part. And what I was doing was projecting my anger onto him. I didn't see it. I didn't see it for 20 years. But that's what A Course in Miracles says we do, that our relationships are our mirrors. And whenever we are making someone else guilty or angry at them, we have formed a special relationship in which we can dump our stuff on them so we don't have to look at ourselves. So we can stay safe in our little cocoons and say, "I really, really, really want love." No, we don't. We're terrified of love. We want it, but we push it away, and we all do this. We push it away by being workaholics and we're never at home. We push it away by fighting with our partners. We push it away by shutting down emotionally. We push it away by blaming the other person for our problems. And that's where A Course in Miracles healed my current relationship with my soulmate. I learned that whenever I was mad, never to blame it on him, but to always look and say, "What is going on with me?" And that was my spiritual curriculum, to learn forgiveness and to stop being angry and hateful. There was so much darkness inside of me, as there is in all of us, and it is so painful and so hard to look at that stuff. But if you're in a relationship that's chaotic, if you're in a relationship that's dark, or even if you're in a relationship that's just cold, like a cold war, or empty, like a brother-sister type of thing without the warm fuzzies, it's saying something about you. So many people stay in relationships just enduring them, just staying complacent, because they're afraid. They're afraid to live. They're afraid to live. And what I did is I thought, "Oh, I've done my work," because I left two different relationships to be with this twin flame of mine. And I got mad. I said, "I'm the one who did all the work. You didn't do it. I did it." But what I did, even though I jumped off the cliff, I took the outer risk. I left relationships. I put myself out there to be exposed and ridiculed and abandoned and all of that. I did do all that. I didn't follow it up with the heart connection. I did the outer stuff, but I still blamed him and projected my stuff and my anger onto him and said he wasn't opening his heart. He was running away. All the while, I was running away and staying in my head about it. I didn't realize it. I thought since I took the outer actions, that's all that was needed. But it's not just outer. It's outer work and inner work. Inner work. Okay, Kathy Freston continues. What matters most is that which is getting stirred up within you. Each time your buttons are pushed or your lust is ignited, you can be sure your soul is rumbling to give birth to some new level of awareness. The soulmate does you the unwitting service of poking and prodding until you open up. They bring you to your edge, your sense of limitation, and then push you to go farther. Sometimes it's gentle, kind, and generous, but sometimes it's just plain maddening. I have a friend, and she's with her soulmate, probably her twin flame, and they've just had this wonderful relationship, and she says, I'm so lucky. I met him in high school. It's always been good. We have two great kids. We have a great life, and how come it's so easy and nice for me, and I don't see that around me, and she is definitely one of the lucky ones, or maybe luck has nothing to do with it. Maybe it's her own consciousness that she has evolved enough. She's a very loving, open, generous, kind person, and she's drawn that to her. In many, many more cases, I think that it's just plain maddening fits better, that a lot of soulmate twin flame relationships crash and burn because people are not evolved enough, cannot handle the intensity of the love. It's like a magnet to steel. It really is. Okay. Every single interaction, every exchange between you and that significant other has meaning and purpose. The mirror of relationships shows us where we need to grow and guides us forward. The soulmate relationship, whether it manifests as joyful or heartrending, is a portal through which we access our spiritual potential. And that has absolutely been my experience. The spiritual growth that I have received through this relationship has been greater than any other challenge in my life. Even the challenge of losing custody of my daughter, which was huge, very huge, horrible, horrible loss at this level. This twin flame relationship, because it's my path more than the mothering path, did more for me to break my heart wide open. But then I closed my heart. Instead of keeping my heart open and forgiving way back when, I closed it. I closed it down to the next couple relationships that I had. And I've only just begun recently opening it up more and more and more. It's been fairly open in this relationship with my current partner, and in the last couple years more so. But it was so painful. I didn't want to get hurt again. And that's what a lot of us do. We shut down. We just shut down. We've been hurt so bad. But we have to realize this is what we called to ourselves. Soulmate relationships do not happen by accident. As A Course in Miracles says, those who are to meet will meet, because together they have the potential to form a holy relationship. There are no accidents in salvation. These soulmates are our saviors. They are the people that push our buttons so much and make us open up to our own souls. We can't get away. And that's why this person, even though I prayed, God, get this man out of my being. What is wrong with me? I went to therapists to try to get over my codependence and my addiction. I got married again. I got into another relationship. And still, he would not go away. Why? Because he's the reflection of my soul. And my soul is yearning to be all that it can be. And so is yours. So if there is a soulmate in your life that you are pushing away or that you're conflicted with, open to it. Open to it. Dive into it. Go all the way. Because you will never reach your potential while you're shutting your heart down. What I realized finally after struggling, I would open my heart, then I'd close it. Open, close, open, close, open, close. And finally, for the past year, I've kept it open almost all the time. I've closed it just a little bit. But for the most part, I've kept it open for the last year. And the spiritual breakthroughs and the mystical awakenings and the connection to God and the connection to life and the connection to my current partner and the connection to all people has just multiplied exponentially in this past year since I made a clear and firm decision that I was going to stay open to this man no matter what. And I've stayed open. And it's still really scary because I'm opening and opening and opening even more than I thought there needed to be. It's like, oh, more. Okay, oh, more. Okay, how much more of God's love can I take in? How much more of soul love can I embody? I actually get dizzy, and I know other friends of mine too. A lot of spiritual energy can make you ungrounded and dizzy and whack out your emotions. So you have to do grounding exercises. You have to ground your energy into the earth and then bring up earth energy, and you have to clear your chakras and make your chakras more balanced and shake off the old energy. And if you don't, you get sick. And I know a lot of my friends who are very spiritual people can get dizzy and get sick and get unbalanced emotionally or physically if you don't manage it properly. And that can be the hard part. Okay. The soulmate relationship, whether it manifests as joyful or heartrending, is a portal through which we access our spiritual potential. Kathy Freston writes, "I believe that the romantic quest is a gateway into heaven through which we can tap into our true self," capital S. When I say self with a capital S, I mean the divine within us, who we really are beyond the personality and learned traits that shape our public persona. The self is our primordial truth. It is our center, our innocence, and our perfection. It is that which is divine in each and every one of us. And once again, every paragraph that she writes, I can relate to. And I appreciate so much her balance and her willingness to put this out there. Because so many psychology books, and I can say this as a psychotherapist, so I feel entitled to criticize my own profession. So many of them dumb down or just normalize it takes... Psychology can take away the mystical, soulful aspect of life. And I'm so glad to see mindfulness coming into psychology now, going beyond the small self instead of just dumbing it down to everyday interactions. But when she says the self is our primordial truth, it is our center, our innocence, and our perfection. That is what I have found through opening to my twin flame. I saw reflected in him, me, all of me, which is the one self that we are, all are, the Christ self, the divine self, our perfection. And I married two men that I thought fit my public persona, but it was this twin flame who was really who I am. We are about out of time. I will continue this book and this discussion next week, next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you would like to ask a question about soulmates or about A Course in Miracles, please go to my website, Lori Coburn with two R's, LoriCoburn.com. And I wish you well, and I wish you a wonderful soulmate relationship, especially with your true soulmate, yourself. Good night.